The passengers hurriedly gathered up their scattered belongings and pushed toward the exit in a great rush to be out and back on Earth. The fugitive was the last to leave. He stayed well away from the others, being fearful that, if he should touch or brush up against someone, his identity might be recognized. When he saw the ramp running from the ship to the ground, he was dismayed. It seemed a flimsy structure, supported only by tubular steel. Five people were walking down it, and he made a mental calculation of their weight. About 800 pounds, he thought. He weighed five times that. The ramp was obviously never built to support such a load. He hesitated, and then he realized that he had caught the eye of the stewardess waiting on the ground. A little panicky, he stepped out with one foot, and he was horrified to feel the steel buckle. He drew back hastily and threw a quick glance at the stewardess. Fortunately, at the moment, she was looking down one field and waving at someone. The ramp floor was supported by steel tubes at its edges and in its exact center. He tentatively put one foot in the middle over the support and gradually shifted his weight to it. The metal complained creakily but held, and he slowly trod the exact center line to earth. The stewardess' back was turned toward him as he walked off across the field toward the customs house. He found it comforting to have under his feet what felt like at least 1 yard of cement. He could step briskly and not be fearful of betraying himself. There was one further danger, the customs inspector. He took his place at the end of the line and waited patiently until it led him up to a desk at which a uniformed man sat, busily checking and stamping declarations and traveling papers. The official, however, did not even look up when he handed him his passport and identification. "Human, you don't have to go through immigration," the agent said. "Do you have anything to declare?" "No, no," the traveler said. "I didn't bring anything in." "Sign the affidavit," the agent said, and pushed a sheet of paper toward him. The traveler picked up a pen from the desk and signed "John Hall" in a clear, perfect script. The agent gave it a passing glance and tossed it into a wire basket. Then he pushed his uniform cap back, exposing a bald head. "You're my last customer for a while, until the rocket from Sirius comes in. Guess I might as well relax for a minute." He reached into a drawer of the desk and pulled out a package of cigarettes, of which he lit one. "You been in the war, too?" he asked. Hall nodded. He did not want to talk any more than he had to. The agent studied his face. "That's funny," he said after a minute. "I never would have picked you for one of those so-called adventurers. You're too quiet and peaceful-looking. I would have put you down as a doctor, or maybe a writer." "No," Hall said. "I was in the war." "Well, that shows you can't tell by looking at a fellow," the agent said philosophically. He handed Hall his papers. "There you are. The left door leads out to the copter field. Good luck on Earth." Hall pocketed the stamped documents. "Thanks," he said. "I'm glad to be here."